Are there other companies in the United States, not the big people ones, you know, not the big ones, but are there other companies that are working on some alternative fuel sources that could very well be the big Microsofts of the future, the big Apple computers of the future, just tremendous technology ahead of them?
Well, are we talking fuels or are we talking vehicles? If you're talking fuels, then, you know, you've got any number of companies that are working on different approaches, whether it's, you know, Centroleum, which takes natural gas and makes a really very extraordinarily clean jet fuel and diesel fuel out of natural gas. The company you mentioned down in Carthage, Missouri, you've got a Canadian company that's taking wheat straw and actually making an ethanol out of it in a really very promising technology. So when you're looking at the fuels, there's a lot going on there. With respect to actually building vehicles, most of that is such an enormously costly research effort, as well as the practice of just simply, you know, getting the vehicles crash tested and getting them certified and so on.
Sure,
that
sure.
Generally, that's really out of the range of most developers at this point.
In your opinion, are the big automobile companies working in tandem or cahoots with the oil companies?
Oh, that's the question everybody would love to know the answer to. I would guess it's probably a little of both. You know, the car companies will tell you that, look, we don't really care what the fuel is because, you know, if it's ethanol, if it's hydrogen, our business is not really to dictate what fuel. Ours is just simply to build a vehicle that uses whatever the existing fuel structure is. And at that point, of course, it's gasoline for the most part. So, but then, of course, you know, it can always be argued that, you know, one hand washes the other. So I really don't know the answer. I don't know the answer to that question. It's almost one of those emotional, visceral things that when I get really mad with the car companies for dragging their heels, you know, or fighting some particular piece of legislation, you know, then I get in my darker moods and say, yeah, they're in cahoots. But then I sit down with them across the table. You know, I sat with the Daimler Chrysler's government affairs officer just actually last week at a restaurant in Florida. And, you know, he's a nice guy. And, you know, he tells me, he said, look, you know, the fuel isn't for us, you know, whether it's hydrogen, whatever the fuel is, our job is not to dictate fuel, just to build cars. So.
Yeah, but they have to be working, I think, hand in hand. You know, you can't have one without the other, really.
Yeah, certainly, exactly. I'll give you a good example of that. 40% of all vehicles sold in Europe are diesel, and only a tiny, I don't know what the exact fraction is, but that's only a fraction here in the United States.
Right.
Now, why are the Europeans, and these are the same car companies, you know, there's Ford over there, there's GM over there, there's Daimler Chrysler over there. Why are they selling so many more diesels in Europe than they are here?
Good
well, there's
question.
A number of reasons, but one of the very important reasons is because they have low sulfur diesel. I don't know if you've had a chance. I've had a chance to drive some of the European diesels. They are fabulous. They're clean. You would think you're actually driving a gasoline car, not the old noisy, clattering diesels that we're used to. So that technology has come an extraordinarily long way. And the Europeans are using it, and they've been using it for a number of years now. Only now, this year, do we see an American car company introducing a modern European diesel engine. That'll be Jeep with their new Liberty coming out this year.
But still a reliance on fossil fuel.
Still a reliance on fossil fuels. But interestingly, though, in Europe, 40% of the diesel in Europe is actually a blend of biodiesel. So they're using an enormous amount of plant-based fuel to mix into their diesel fuels over there.
What percent do you think?
I think the number I read was like 40%.
Hmm. Because we're doing, what, 10% ethanol in most gasoline
doing,
now?
Yeah, over here we're doing 10% E10. Interestingly, this new Jeep Liberty is going to be rolling off the assembly line in this country with B5 in it. That means 95% regular petroleum diesel and 5% soybean-based diesel.
Well, it's a start.
It's a start. Now, part of the reason why, as I'm going to explain, part of the reason why those have been so successful, apart from the fact that there are certain tax advantages in Europe to using diesel as opposed to gasoline, is that they have very, very clean, low-sulfur diesel in Europe, which is necessary for us to have to run those modern engines. In other words, we couldn't bring one of those engines over here and expect it to perform because we have still very dirty diesel fuel over here. So our fuel has to be cleaned up to be able to run those engines the way they're supposed to be run. That's all supposed to happen by about 2007.
What do you think is going to happen sooner than later? The push towards more electric cars or more of a reliance on some of these alternative fuels?
I think you're going to see more reliance on alternative fuels initially. The real wild card here, George, is the state of the Saudi oil fields. And I'm sure you've had people in the past talking about, the question as to what condition those fields are in. The Saudis would have us believe that they can pump oil for now just like they are for the next 75 years. There's plenty of oil there. We don't need to worry. There are people, one of the president's energy advisors that was a part of the vice president's energy task force, a gentleman by the name of Matt Simmons, isn't so certain. Matt has some very serious concerns about the condition of particularly the Ghawar oil field, which is their giant mother of all oil fields. That's where 50% of all of Saudi Arabia's oil comes out of one single field.